is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, how are we doing this morning? Again, it's a holiday season is here. We got Christmas in a couple of days. How's it going?
Everything's good. You know, you can't complain. It's awesome. We got games today, games tomorrow, games on Monday. We got Santa coming down the chimney. You know, it's all good. Life is good. You can't complain about this at all. And, you know, I think it's going to be a fun weekend. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out if the public is still kicking butt, making money.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's been kind of an interesting way this year has gone in terms of the betting world. If you're a contrarian bettor, it hasn't really worked out as well for you. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out this weekend. The books, you know, they're not going to lose very often. So we shall see how it works out. But I'm excited for it, Femi. How about you? You ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I'm so ready to go that I'm wondering, where's my 10 a.m. game? I mean, last week they gave us the triple header. We only get two today. I'm over here just kind of like scratching the itch here. I was like, man, like we couldn't get a triple header, but I guess they want us to spend some time, the little time that we have with our families.
Well, they want
you to
shop, Femi. They want you to wait till 1 o'clock so you get a little shopping in today, you know, and they want you to kind of see how it goes and, you know, get a little bit more prep time in before you actually get into this whole thing and, you know, digest it. How about your boy Derek Carr the other day? You know, one thing about Derek Carr, just so for the record, I want everybody to know this. Mm-hmm. If he just has a good defense, he's going to win every game. I mean, that's all he needed. It was the problem at Las Vegas and Oakland. All he needs is a good defense, right? All he needs is a good defense. And if there ever was an example on Thursday night of how to lose a game, Dennis Allen taught us. You know, to go for it in the middle eight. He lost the game in the middle eight. And if people don't know what the middle eight is, it's the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. You control the game. You win the game in the middle eight. And that's where the Rams won the game. The score is deceiving. That was a dominating win by the Rams. And look, I don't know about you, Femi, but I don't think, you know, they got the Giants next week.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win that one, right? Unless there's something happens and, you know, this has got to be, I think Sean McVay needs to be talked about as coach of the year.
People are starting to discuss it with Sean McVay and the job that he's done. They've already gone over their win total. Like, they were, like, what, 6.5, 7 at the highest all throughout the offseason?
I was on that campaign. There's no way they're going to win 6. I mean, that roster's atrocious. It's still bad, but he's a great coach. Let's be clear. And his quarterback stayed healthy for most of the year, which helped him.
Yeah, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of people talk about, like, is this a dangerous team? Can they get hot in the playoffs? Because the head coach is really good, and the quarterback is. I mean, Stafford looks dialed in. Like he's making great throws. He has an awesome connection with Puka Nacua, who's now making a late charge here for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, if Stroud doesn't come back and play, who knows? Like maybe Nacua steals that award. But I think this Rams team, a lot of people are starting to buy in here. And you talked about how, like, hey, like, they don't have that much talent. I don't know if they can do it in terms of winning three straight playoff games, especially on the road. But in a one game scenario, that wild card round, whoever has to host him, it's going to be a little sweaty.
Yeah, it'll be sweaty, and, you know, he's a chess player. I mean, he's going to attack you the right way. And look, I think a lot of credit to Ryan Waddell, our former player, played for us on the Super Bowl team in 49, the center. He's now the O-line coach. He hired him. I think this guy's done a remarkable job. He really has. That offensive line is played really well, and they protected Stafford. I mean, Schwartz was trying to get pressure on him. He couldn't get pressure on him. The Ravens couldn't get pressure on him. Obviously, the Saints couldn't get pressure on him. Washington, who can get pressure on? They can't. So, you know, to me, you got to give that their offensive line has really done a good job of protecting Stafford, which I didn't think they could do this year. So credit them. They really have done a great job. And I agree. Look, you don't want to play them. You know, they're very beatable. They're not a great defensive team. They don't turn the ball over unless Carr wants to throw the over route right to the safety that he doesn't see. But other than that, you know, they're not a great turnover team defensively, but they play great complementary football. And Raheem Morris, look, there's two defensive coaches out there, really three, Schwartz, Morris, and Flores. Those three guys deserve head coaching interviews. They deserve to be at least in front of some owners to talk about a head coaching job because they've done a great job for their team. If either one of those three were in Green Bay, we'd be talking about Green Bay's chances of making the playoffs.
And all three of those guys have been head coaches in the past. There, I mean, Raheem Morris, I mean, he was a head coach so long ago. He was incredibly young when he took over, but I'm sure he's learned a lot now, like having been at DC for a number of different staffs here. It's you almost forget that he was a head coach, but yeah, he definitely deserves some interviews with what he's done with this Rams defense. Like, we talked about it before the season. The cupboards are pretty bare once you get past Aaron Donald, but they've made it work, though, enough to go ahead and sit here at 8-7 with 2 weeks to go. So this Rams team is definitely one to keep your eye on over the next couple of weeks as we head into the postseason. It looks like they'll be there. Now they have like a 77% chance to make the playoffs, tiebreaker over the Saints, tiebreaker over the Seahawks, and then we'll see what happens with the Vikings, who are currently the 7th seed in the NFC playoff picture. But Michael, let's kind of set the table for what we have coming up here on the show over these 2 hours. 15 minutes from now, actually 10 minutes from now, actually, it'll be our buddy Tim Murray who joins us. Tim Murray, the host of VSiN Primetime, Monday through Friday. You can always check that out, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. Also the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim has some plays with today's bowl slate. We talk about the NFL. We got like 6-7 bowl games going on today. A lot going on in college football. Then 45 minutes from now, legendary sports radio host in Philadelphia, now an author, Angelo Cataldi will be joining us. What's going on with the Eagles? Angelo has a lot of takes, Michael, as you've heard being in that area. I'm excited for our audience to get
Angelo.
That.
I did Angelo when he was, you know, he started WIP, and he's got a book out called Loud, and it's a fabulous book. I've read it. It's tremendous. It's really about the journey of sports radio in America, and he started it here in Philadelphia. You know, WIP here was the voice, and his morning show was the best morning show. And he went from being a newspaper man from Boston, from the Rhode Island area, comes down here, and he just takes the market over and explodes. And he's always had great opinions, and he's always asked great questions. He's one of the best interviewers that I've ever had in terms of when I would go on his show every Friday morning at 7 a.m. here in Philadelphia. You know, his questions were great. He was always well-prepared. And he was always trying to find the answers to the question. It'll be interesting to see his view on this Eagle team, because one thing about Angelo, he don't hold back. He's not going to be play nice. He's gonna kick some sand in the sandbox.
Yeah, and it's a great market to go ahead and do so. Like we said, legendary sports radio host, so I'm excited for our audience to go ahead and hear what he has to say about all things Philadelphia Eagles. Then in hour number two, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He'll join us to give us his NFL, college football, and college basketball opinions on this Saturday. But let's get into our Saturday NFL slate here, Michael. Early thoughts on the AFC North clash and maybe kind of a last stand here for this Pittsburgh Steelers team sitting at 7-7. They're 3-point home dogs. The market went to 3 across the board before we got on the air. Total sitting at 38. Is this a Tomlin spot, or is this kind of a dead team walking with the Pittsburgh Steelers and everything that's going on in that locker room?
Well, this is the last home game for Pittsburgh this year, right? And if they don't have anything in them that now, you know, then to me, I think you got to take the 3 in Pittsburgh here. I don't see how you can't. I mean, without Jamar Chase, and really the bigger injury for Cincinnati is DJ Reader. And when you break down the Cincinnati team now, you know, go back in week 12, they played. The Steelers went in there, won 16-10. It was the first game without Matt Canada. They put 421 yards up on the Bengals, and they held the Bengals to 222 actually. And Browning hadn't gotten going yet. Now without Chase, I think it's a little different story. This AFC North, these games are always tight. You know, they always kind of come down to a play here and a play there, and I think you have to look at that. And to me, this is one of those, I know Tomlin hasn't been true to when we want to play him or how he's been playing in terms of covering, but I think this is one of those situations where either they have it or they don't, and I think they do. One of the things you look at in these games, I mean, when you go through it and you look at these, you know, one of the nuggets that I think is important, I got it here, Femi, when you have a game like this, when you bet low totals, and I said this on Russo yesterday, NFL underdogs in games below 42, and this game is below 42, they are 183, 129, and 9 against the spread. That's a 60% number. And in the last 3 years, it's been even better. So you got an opportunity in a low game to bet this. I know Mason Rudolph hasn't thrown many passes since 2021. But look, the reason he's playing is because Trubisky's just so turnover prone. They've turned the ball over 5 times in the last 3 weeks. and they've only created one. So what Tomlin's trying to do is he's going to try to play a conservative, run the ball, control the clock, kind of like he did the first time they played. The first time they played, they moved the ball up and down the field. The game was not as close as the score, especially considering that the Steelers had the ball for 37 minutes in that game.
Yeah, no, they dominated that football game. And there was a couple of, like, fluky bounce plays. I think is how Cincinnati was able to score their touchdown there. But yeah, it's just, like, you're back in Mason Rudolph, which, like, on the surface, it doesn't sound that great. But, I mean, Trubisky, honestly, the way he was playing, like you mentioned, with all the turnovers, they just had to do something and make a change at that important spot at quarterback here. Defensively, though, is where I'm a little bit concerned about Pittsburgh, especially on the back end. Minka Fitzpatrick, he's hurt. Obviously, DeMonte KZ suspended for the rest of the regular season. Now, Trenton Thompson as well, their safety. So you're down three safeties here on the back end against, yeah, no Chase, but Higgins is still there. Boyd is still there. They still have some talented pass catchers on that Bengals offense.
And you still have J.J. Watt, and you still have Highsmith coming off the edge.
Yeah.
And you got Cincinnati on the road trying to protect, right? And so I think you got to be, you know, I know they went into Jacksonville and won that game, but I think the one advantage that Pittsburgh has in this game is you got to be able to rush them. And I think Watt can do it, especially when he's on national TV like he will be today, rushing and put some pressure on Browning. I think that's got to be the key to the game. Look, I get you. The secondary is always problematic. Whenever they don't have Minka Fitzpatrick, you worry. But I think this is one of those situations you've got to be able – they held them to two – they only converted two third downs the last time they played. See if they can do it again.
Yeah, this is one of those backs against the wall, backed into a corner kind of situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's now or never playoff game out there at what was once called Heinz Field in the Pittsburgh area. So we'll see what happens. But Tim Murray will join us next to break down today's college football bowl games here on the Lombardi Line. Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. And what it does for you is it links your betting accounts into one app, delivers in-depth analytics on all your betting history. All you got to do is just go to the App Store, Apple App Store, or the Google Play Store. Spell it out, juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. It's free, Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Ebefe, Michael Lombardi. You're hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Coming up in 15 minutes, legendary sports radio host, now turned author, Angelo Cataldi will be joining us here to break down what's going wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles, who are currently riding a three-game losing streak. But now, Monday afternoon in Philly, laying 13.5 against the rival New York Giants. We'll get into all of that with Angelo Cataldi coming up in the next segment here. But Michael, before we hit these news and notes, I wanted to ask you about this Bills-Chargers game. I can't get a read on what's going to happen later on tonight at SoFi Stadium. The market doesn't seem to get a read on it. We keep pinging back and forth, respected opinions on both sides here. We're currently sitting at 12 at DraftKings, 12.5 consensus. How do you see this shaking out here with Giff Smith making his interim head coaching debut?
Well, I mean, everybody has been on the Chargers all week. I don't understand it. You know, and look, Gibbs been there a while. You know, he's been there since 16, so he kind of has known the team. He probably knows the Spanos family well. They trust him. He's gone through a bunch of staff. So, you know, I think that's kind of like gives him some understanding within the framework of the organization. But still, you know, Stick is still the quarterback, and Keenan Allen is not going to be on the field. And so the way Buffalo's playing, one thing we do know, when Josh Allen wins, he typically wins by more than 7. You know, and that usually I think what 60% of his wins happen over 7 points. So it's a little bit of a concern for me to want to take the Chargers, but a lot of people seem to, because this line opened up at 9.5. It went to 13.5. It's come back down to 11.5. It's been all over the place. Initially, Femi, I thought a lot of it was there was some word on the street that there was some flu bug going around Buffalo. And there's a lot of their players got what Dallas players allegedly had last week. So I thought that was moving the number towards the Chargers. But look, maybe Giff has the ability to get this team to play at a higher level, or at least care. Because when you watch him play against the Raiders, you just study that tape. Like, there was no effort on that tape. There was zero. Look, you don't give up 63 points because you're playing hard. Let me just say that to you. It's hard to give up 63 points to a rookie quarterback in an offense that barely could score 20 points all year. So, you know, one thing I think it's saying is they're going to give it a little bit more effort. But do they have enough talent to give it effort, especially in on offense where they really can't move the ball, and the quarterback's going to be in a little bit of a difficult situation.
Yeah, I mean, arguably their three best players on offense are out. Like Mike Williams, he got hurt earlier in the season, but Keenan Allen's out. Obviously, Justin Herbert out for the rest of the season here, to where, like, I don't know where the points are coming from this Chargers team, but maybe a lot of people are playing the whole, like, the fired coach angle. Like, we've seen that work with, like, the Raiders after a week, and, like, sometimes, like, you're able to cover in that spot here, and after getting embarrassed on national television, maybe you'll get a better performance from the Chargers here, taking that 12.5 here, but... I think there's better ways to spend your money, honestly. But hey, you know what? People out there, they might see the edge. I'll watch the game. Maybe there's a good live betting angle that pops up here, but I don't think I can do it. On the Buffalo side, they have some injuries, though, as well. Micah Hyde, he's out. Jordan Phillips, their defensive tackle, he goes on IR here. So Buffalo beat up, especially on the interior of that defensive line there. Maybe the Chargers can get some semblance of a ground game going. Maybe that's how they keep this thing close.
Well, you know, look, they got to stop Josh Allen, too, though. I mean, look, that's the key going to be, can you stop Josh Allen? They ran the ball 49 times against Dallas. Can you do that? I think that's a little bit of an issue. The other thing I think that this, look, Daquan Jones started practicing. He started his clock. And so that's really going to be important. You know, if they get him back, losing Phillips hurts them because he gives them girth inside, right? He gives them a physical player in that middle of the defense, which they need. And so, you know, I think to me, they need him back. When I was talking about, Allen has 64 career wins. 47 of them have been by seven or more points. Seven, and he broke his streak last week, Femi, where he didn't turn the ball over. He did not have an interception, and he was on a heater on that. So he protected the ball. They've done a good job in that area. You know, I think this is one of those where I have a hard time thinking that that the Chargers can stay up with it, especially if they're able to get some pressure on the quarterback.
All right, well, let's talk some NFL news and notes and quarterback injuries. This time of year, we have a number of teams who are dealing with QB injuries here with their quarterback number one, and it's in the AFC South with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We don't know who's going to start at quarterback for them. There was some optimism yesterday with Trevor Lawrence returning to the practice field, practicing in limited fashion. He's currently in the concussion protocol. I know he'll go through another test today to see if he can go ahead and pass and play in the game. Well, the market went ahead and bet Jacksonville quite a bit yesterday evening. The Jags are now down to 1.5-point favorites at DraftKings, but I'm seeing one pretty much everywhere else across the board, almost indicating that there's growing optimism that Lawrence should be able to pass the protocol. But do you still like Jacksonville with Lawrence on a limited week of practice here and the Jags seemingly reeling after what we saw last Sunday night?
You know, the Jacksonville plays so much better on the road than they do at home. Lawrence plays better on the road. The team plays better on the road. Now, I mean, obviously, it's just a short trip down the road to them, but this is one of those where, you know, they have not played well defensively. They have not played well offensively. They have really no toughness to their team. They're 30th in yards per attempt in rushing. They can't really get any consistency going. And the fact is, they can't they turn the ball over too much. Their defense is very good at forcing turnovers. They're number one defense in the National Football League in forcing turnovers. Just the offense is the 25th team in the league in giving the ball back away. And so, you know, that becomes a real big issue. And, you know, you've got to be really careful here, especially considering that Zay Jones was limited with questionable with the knee. Lawrence, we're not sure he's going to go. We know Kirk's on IR. He can't go. Tyson Campbell, their corner, can he go? They're going to need their secondary to play well because this secondary of Jacksonville has been torched. We saw that. You know, we see that when they play against good teams, they're able to throw the football on them. So, it's interesting. Jacksonville's defense is just can't get control of the running game, and they can't get control of the passing game. One thing they can do is turn the ball over. And if they rush Baker inside, which Green Bay didn't do, they probably will create some turnovers.
Are the Bucs playing better football, or has it been more so the competition as of late?
You know, it's funny you ask that. Everybody just, Baker Mayfield should be comeback player of the week. Well, against Atlanta, he threw for 148 yards. Against Carolina, he threw for 194. I mean, you know, it wasn't pretty. They won by 3 points against Carolina. It was an ugly game.
Yeah.
You know, when he played against the Colts, you know, now he got hurt in that game. But in the last 4 weeks, we're talking about Baker Mayfield like he's been sensational. It wasn't until he saw Joe Barry's defense that he threw for over 300 yards. The other 3 weeks, he was below 200 yards passing. Last week was his finest hour. It was as good as he's ever been since going back to week 2 when he played against the Bears. So, yeah, he is playing better. There's no doubt, but it's all predicated on how you rush Baker. If you rush Baker inside out, it's problematic for him. If you rush Baker outside in, he'll step up and make throws to some really good and talented receivers in Evans and Godwin, and he's been able to make those plays. Last week, you know, against the Packers, they actually ran the football effectively. This is a team that can't run the ball. They're 29th in the league in yards. Mm-hmm. They're 32nd in yards per attempt. They can't really run the football. They try, but they can't do it. They live and die with a big play in the passing game, and that's what beat Atlanta. Atlanta, he had one drive in that game. One drive in that game, and he brought him back down the field, and then he was able to, you know, and then they were able to cover in that game, and he led them to a victory 1-4.
Yeah. They have their next two games, including Sunday, at home, with home against the Jaguars, home against the Saints, a chance for them to win the NFC South, which I don't think many people expected at the start of this season here, Tampa Bay potentially winning that division here. Let's go to the game between Cleveland and Houston there, because we also have quarterback injuries there. C.J. Stroud once again ruled out, not able to clear a concussion protocol. That will miss a second consecutive game with the concussion here. The Browns are out to 2.5-point favorites, 3 at DraftKings, and I think some threes are going to start popping up at other places as well here. Would you lay it with Cleveland at this number on the road, where the defense hasn't been quite as good as we've seen when they played at home?
Well, I'm just really concerned. I mean, both teams' injury lists are really long, right?
Yeah.
And this Browns offensive line, you know, what do I believe? I believe bad lines don't travel. Now, I don't think the Browns have a bad line. They just have a bunch of backups playing. Christian, their left tackle who replaced the backup left tackle, who replaced the worst, the starting left tackle, right? So they've had all these injuries to their offensive line, and they're playing a bunch of backups in the line. Now, Posick supposedly was full at practice this week. He had a stinger last week. Wyatt Teller's going to play. They're hoping Betano will play, so that could give them 3 of their 5 starters back. So that could help. But again, you know, they got to handle the speed and the athleticism of the Houston Texan defense. And Houston's injured. Houston has a ton of injuries all over their team. So that's the concern you have there. To me, this is an injury game. Will Anderson's hurt. Yep. Blake Cashman's hurt. Stroud's out. Malik Collins is one of their better inside defensive tackles. Nico Collins is out. Noah Brown went full speed this week at practice. So to me, I think this is one of those games where, you know, you're basically saying Cleveland's defense is going to beat Case Keenum if you lay the points.
Yeah, we'll see if they're able to go ahead and do that on Sunday. All right, legendary sports radio host Angelo Cataldi joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All I want for the holidays this year is some NBA action. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, our buddy, he joins us each and every Saturday, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, and co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It's Matt Eumanns here joining us on the Lombardi Line. Matt, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. You have plays in both of tonight's NFL games here. We'll start in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers right now are 3-point home dogs, total 38 here. What do you like in this AFC North clash? Steelers fighting for their season.
Yeah, it's not a lot to like about the Steelers, and they're 7-7, consecutive losses to the Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts. Mike Tomlin was a home favorite against Arizona and New England, much more dangerous as a home dog, and I think you know, that's the basis for the play here. Is, you know, Tomlin typically wins these type of games as a home dog when his back is to the wall. I kind of like the quarterback switch from Mitch Trubisky to Mason Rudolph. I think that should prove to be a good move. The Steelers do have injury issues in their secondary, which is going to be a problem. But Cincinnati's offense dealt a setback this week. Jamar Chase ruled out with a shoulder injury. And the Bengals are off that kind of a miracle comeback last week to pull out that win against the Vikings. I actually think this is a decent spot here for the Steelers. Catching 3? I didn't intend to play this, I'll be honest, at the beginning of the week. But if you're going to give me a full 3 with the Steelers at home, the more I've looked at it this week, the more I like it. So it's a small play for me here.
Matt, I couldn't agree more. I on Russo yesterday, I took the three. If it was 2.5, I probably would have said no. But to get Tomlin as a 3-point dog at home in a game that, you know, the AFC, this North is always a battle. Whether these two teams are good or bad, that they always play hard. And look, remember, they gained 427 yards against the Bengals in Cincinnati and won the game 16-10. And that was just 4 weeks ago. So there has to be some confidence. They're going to play Patrick Peterson at free safety, which could extend his career, which I think will help them because it's critical for them to get somebody in the middle of the field to help calls. So I like the play. I hope we're both right on this one. The one I don't know, you like the Chargers in the 12.5. And these are always the hard games for me because I'm so linear in terms of handicapping. Like, I know Buffalo's the better team. I just can never gauge the large point spreads. But you think the Chargers will keep this closer than two touchdowns, huh?
I don't really know. I'm guessing on this one, I'll be honest. You know, when you bet on a team the week after a coaching change, that's usually a strong angle. You bet on a team the week after it was humiliated, that's typically a good angle. But the Chargers are flaky, so I don't know. I don't have the same type of confidence that I would, let's say, in a normal team that I do in the Chargers in this spot off that 63-21 loss in Las Vegas. You know, you're guessing if you're trying to predict if the home dog's going to show up and play with pride tonight in L.A. And when you have Easton Stick against Josh Allen, it looks a little bit too easy to just lay the points with the Bills. I'm also guessing here that this could be a flat spot for the Bills. Traveling cross-country, up big wins over the Cowboys and the Chiefs. I have a feeling the Bills are going to be a little bit sluggish in this game because they've got so many big games here down the stretch, and this is really not one of them. I'm going to say the Bills kind of go through the motions, maybe win this game by 7-10. Let's hope the Chargers show up and play with some pride. But I will say that the two plays today are just smaller plays for me, and I'm kind of guessing a little bit here on the Chargers and hoping they show up.
All right, Matt, taking the both home dogs here on the Saturday slate in the NFL here. This is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast here. Well, let's get to Sunday's slate here, Matt. Seattle at Tennessee. Right now, the Seahawks laying 3.5. If, I guess as a Titans backer, would you rather Will Levis plays hurt or would you rather see Ryan Tannehill get the start in this game?
Probably Tannehill. I think if he gets one more shot, maybe you get his best shot here because Tannehill, if he doesn't show something here, his career is maybe at the end. But what I saw from Will Levis last week was nothing too impressive. So I'm not really itching for Levis to get back on the field. But he got sacked 7 times. You know, one thing about the Titans, I think I misjudged when I was scouting this team before the season. I thought the offensive line play was going to be a lot better. And the offensive line play in Tennessee has been pretty poor all season. Derrick Henry's not finding much traction in the run game, and they're better off really with Spears because of his speed. But I think this is a type of matchup against the Seahawks where they can look a little bit better than they did against the Texans a week ago. And that the Seahawks defense can be had. I'm very disappointed in the way the Eagles played Monday night on offense and defense, especially in the second half. I thought that was just an incredibly poor performance by Philadelphia. But now that you go on the road, you're the Seahawks off that big win. Geno Smith is jumping back in there, and you're laying 3.5 all of a sudden on the road. It's actually a pretty good spot, I think, for Mike Vrabel and the home dog to rise up here.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday when this was, we were talking on the show, if I knew Tannehill was playing, I think I would have gone with the Titans. I just can't watch another Will Levis performance. And you're right, Matt. That offensive line is just atrocious. I mean, they can't protect. It's remarkable they were able to give him enough time in Miami in the final two drives to win that game. So I'm with you on that one. The Patriots injury report, I think, is driving this line. It was 6 pretty much all week. Now we're at 7.5 in a lot of shops. And you like the Patriots at 7.5.
You know, I got to laugh at this one, too, because the Patriots burned me so many times this season. Michael, I'm just a believer in Bill Belichick, and I think that when you give him points, you always expect the Patriots to be a good play because they have been for so long. He's 3-11 against the spread this season, and is this a spot? Well, I think it could be a spot where the Patriots actually show up despite the injuries, and I don't like the injury report for the Patriots either. But I think this line is inflated to the point where I just have to take it. It's at 7.5. It's tough to turn down with a total of 35. It's going to be cold, possibly snowing in Denver. Here's the thing that a lot of people overlook with the Patriots, even with the injuries. They still have the number two rushing defense in the NFL, allowing about 85 yards a game. So if they can make it tough on the Broncos where they can't really run the ball, Russell Wilson's not going to cook and get a lot happening through the air here. I think Wilson's been really erratic. And believe it or not, the Broncos are 2-10-1 against the spread as favorites with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Wow.
So at 7.5, I just had to take the points one more time with the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, the way Denver plays offense, they're not really a team that sort of wins by margin either. So I definitely see that play taking the points there in a low-totaled game. Let's get to the game of the year, maybe. Although every time we talk about game of the year, the game ends up being a dud. But we're hoping that's not the case Monday night between the Ravens and the 49ers. San Francisco, a six-point favorite. Where I'm sitting at Circa, there's a 6.5, totals 47. What do you like in this one that pits the two top teams in their respective conferences against each other?
Yeah, it's so tough to bet against the 49ers right now because they won six in a row by an average margin of 18.8 points. They're just blowing teams out, and it's a tough play to make. But I always believe the Ravens are a little bit better in the underdog role, too. I don't like to bet them as home favorites, but you put them on the road in the dog role, and they're more attractive to me that way. Lamar Jackson's 9-4 straight up and 11-2 against the spread as a dog. And you know, that's actually tough to turn down for me as well. I think during the winning streak, the Niners have feasted on mediocre and weak defenses that all rank outside the league's top 10 in scoring. The Ravens actually ranked number one, and I think this Baltimore defense is actually capable of containing San Francisco's offensive versatility enough, and Jackson's one of those few quarterbacks I think you can put a little stress on the 49ers defense. Jackson's 5-1 on the road this season. I'm not going to pick the Ravens to win the game, but I think the Niners are due for a tight game. And Jackson and his underdog mentality, which, you know, he says he wants to be the underdog. I like that. I think this number is a little bit inflated. I thought it was probably right if it was around 4 at 6.5. I'll go ahead and grab the points for the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think this is kind of – and I think John Harbaugh uses his motivation, Matt. You know, look at, they have no respect for us. Look at this. I mean, we've had the lead in 8 games going in the fourth quarter, and we we've had very few minutes playing from behind. They have no respect for us. Miami, Dallas. I mean, we're going to find out one of these teams are going to beat a good team, right? Somebody's going to say they beat a good team after this game. You think it's going to be Miami?
Well, I talked about this with you last week. I think that Dallas defense can be beat on the ground, and the Bills displayed that. They ran for 266 yards last week against the Dallas defense. Miami has the league's number 4 rushing offense. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane are both healthy now, ready to roll. I think it's going to help a lot if Tyreek Hill returns, and I think it's pointing in that direction. But, hey, again, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have been at their worst in big games away from home. That's why I faded them last week and want to do so again.
Yeah, hard to argue with that right now. The Miami Dolphins, 1.5-point favorites, total sitting at 49.5, in which many people are calling the fraud bowl between the Cowboys and the Dolphins here. Somebody's going to have to do something. Something's got to give in South Beach Sunday afternoon. All right, Humans, he's going to join us in the other side as well. We'll go over his bowl plays as he has won in the Hawaii Bowl today, and then we'll look forward to what's going on later on this week as well. We'll wrap things up on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The holidays are here, so let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. All you got to do is go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use promo code VSiN at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order. We're talking about the filet mignons, the mouth-watering burgers, the jumbo freaks, everything that your red meat-loving friends would desire. Once again, omahasteaks.com, 50% off site-wide, and then save an additional $30 off when you use promo code VSiN. Minimum order may be required. All right, this is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. It's been a fun show here on a Saturday, second to last Saturday of 2023. And joining us for two segments, as he always does each and every week, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, let's jump right into your college football stuff. You have a play in tonight's Hawaii Bowl between Coastal Carolina and San Jose State. Right now, the Spartans laying 8 total at 48. What do you like here over in the island?
Well, I'll tell you what the best bet is today. That's Omaha Steaks. I actually sent a shipment of Omaha Steaks to somebody as a Christmas gift. And I tell you, I wanted to send a shipment to myself. It looks so good. And I advise that. And they get those things out quickly, too. You order it, and 2 days later, it's on somebody's doorstep. I did play San Jose State in the Hawaii Bowl. I laid 8. You know, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at the odds screen this morning, and this is not a good sign. Because this number has crashed to 8.5, 8 at most books. It was as high as 11 about a week ago. Wow. I'm not really sure why the sharp money is showing up on San Jose, but I'll tell you this. When you see numbers crash in the bowl season, you got to respect it most times because that means there's some sort of information out there. And I'm not really sure what it is because when I handicap this game, almost all signs point to the Spartans. You got a 6-year quarterback in Siobhan Cordero who's wrapping up his career in his hometown of Honolulu. Brent Brennan, the coach, seeking his first bowl win. He's got his players highly motivated for this game. San Jose State has not lost since October 7th at Boise. Has won 6 in a row. And Cordero and running back Kyrie Robinson, a big part of that. Those guys triggered an offense averaging 38.7 points during that win streak. Now, you look at the Chanticleers, I'm not sure there's a team in the bowl season. It's had more players go into the transfer portal, almost 20, including Grayson McCall, the star quarterback, and his backup. So this also is a Coastal Carolina defense that allowed 365 rushing yards to Army and 481 total yards to James Madison in November. A defense fell apart. It looks like this should be a bowl blowout. I'm a little bit concerned about the number crashing on the screen today and not sure what's going on with this.
Yeah, how about UNLV? They play Kansas. The line opened up at 10.5. Now it's up. You got it at 13. It seems to have settled there, but you like to take the points here.
Yeah, I haven't bet this yet because I'm going to see if it goes to 14, and it might. Who knows? By Tuesday night, the guaranteed Great Bowl in Phoenix. In early December, it looked like the Rebels were going to lose Barry Odom, the coach. He might get a bigger job. Jaden Maiava, the freshman quarterback, was rumored to hit the transfer portal. Well, UNLV kept its coaching staff and its team intact. I think this is going to be a Rebels team that's a hungry dog and a rare bowl trip. And the Rebels do have an explosive big play offense with Ricky White, wide receiver. I think they can trade shots offensively with Kansas. And even though the Jayhawks are going to be close to full strength, and I don't think they lost many key players to the transfer portal or to the NFL draft, it appears, this should be one of those entertaining, high-scoring, a shootout bowl game that is going to be fun to watch. I do think the Rebels have enough firepower to trade shots and stay within this big number. So I'm going to hold out, see if I can get 14. If not, I'll settle for 13 with UNLV.
We're hanging out with Matt Youmans here, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out 9 to midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday here at VSiN, and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A game that you're not expecting a shootout is the Holiday Bowl on Wednesday between Louisville and USC. Right now, the Cardinals, 7.5-point favorites, and the total sitting at 57.5.
Yeah, one of these days I'd like to get Michael Lombardi's analysis on Lincoln Riley and his program at USC because there's a lot going wrong there on the field.
Oh, man, you want it? I'll give it to you. Soft. No defense. Yeah. This whole comedy about he's coming to the NFL is completely ridiculous. It's like he runs a college offense with no defense and his team has no toughness. Like, tell me when Oklahoma – when he was there, or tell me at USC when he's been there that he's had great defense. He doesn't. I mean, the media has made him out to be this unbelievable creative organizer. I mean, Jed Fish has done a much better job at Arizona than he's done at USC. Look, Jed Fish had nobody. There were no players at Arizona when he arrived. USC, you're always going to have players. And yet, you know, there's been no comparison in terms of the programs that have been built and how he's improved the defense and all that. It's, you know, what happens is he becomes electable. He is an electable candidate. Mm-hmm. People love it. You know, there's no substance to it, but they love it.
Yeah, you're right. And Jed Fish has done a great job on both sides of the ball in Arizona. They got a legit defense, and the offense has become developed into something really impressive. Yeah, I agree. I've said the same thing about Lincoln Riley. His teams are so soft. And, I want to just start with this Holiday Bowl. The list of playmakers taking a holiday, a vacation day, is pretty long. You got Caleb Williams, leading rusher Marshawn Lloyd, and number two receiver Brendan Rice, just to start with, on the USC side. On the Louisville side, you got star running back Jawar Jordan and the top receiver Jamari Thrash, who are going to duck out for the NFL draft. So Miller Moss, a third-year sophomore, had 32 pass attempts this season. He takes over the USC offense. I think you're going to see the Cardinals, because they don't really trust Jack Plummer, the starting quarterback, to put it in the air too often. And they're going to rely on their backup running backs, Maurice Turner, Isaac Garrido, and their defense to win this game. Jeff Brohm really wants to win this game. But if you look at the playmakers who are out, I don't think you're going to see a lot of explosive plays here. And it should be a low-scoring game. I played this under 58.5.
Well, speaking of Jed Fish and that Arizona program, bear down. They're going to be taking on Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's former program, in the Alamo Bowl. The Wildcats are 3-point favorites, but there's still some 2.5s out there as well. Total 62.5.
Yeah, I mean, how great a job did Jed Fish do with this team? Because he had to take it from rock bottom when he took over. 6-game winning streak to finish the regular season. Beat some quality teams in there too. And that Noah Fifita, the little quarterback, who took over 73.6% completions, 23 touchdowns. Offense totaled 135 points in the last three games. I laid less than 3 here with Arizona. I do think it's not going to be as easy maybe as you hope if you bet Arizona, because initially when Dylan Gabriel left Oklahoma, I thought, wow, the Sooners probably going to limp into the bowl, not really show up in San Antonio. But they have had some guys stick around. I think that there's been a positive for the Oklahoma program that some of the guys who are coming back and playing in this bowl game. And I'm hearing some really positive reports about Jackson Arnold, the 5-star freshman who's going to replace Gabriel at quarterback. Mm. Only 24 pass attempts this season, but he's got the talent. I don't know if he's going to be ready to beat Arizona in this game. I still like the Cats. I'm not as crazy as I was about this initially, because Oklahoma's got more guys sticking around the game than I expected.
Yeah, they lost our offensive line, which is a concern. A lot of those guys transferred out, but the rest of the team he got them to stay, and I think Venables is a really good defensive coach. I agree. This is not going to be an easy game for Arizona. I think it's going to be a hard game, although Arizona, most of all their players are going to stay and play. So, whereas that's not the case at Ohio State, we're going to see a different quarterback at Ohio State as they place Missouri, and you like Missouri in this one.
I do like Missouri. If you think about it, the Tigers went down to the wire with Georgia in Athens. And I think they're the third best team in the SEC. And when I look at the Big Ten, I saw a lot of bad football being played in the Big Ten this season, especially a lot of bad offensive football. And Ohio State, I don't know why Marvin Harrison Jr. would play in this game. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me if he gets on the field why he would do that when you're going to be a top five pick. But when Kyle McCord opted out or transferred and he's headed to Syracuse, I think that's a big negative for the Ohio State offense in this game. I've seen Devin Brown play, the backup quarterback. I'm not impressed. But just the three big stars for Missouri on the offensive side, I think are going to be too much for the Buckeyes here. And I'm going to bet against the Big Ten, I think, more often than not here in the bowl season, because I watched that league all season. I think that league is a little bit down. I'm probably going to bet against Michigan with Alabama, too.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was not impressed when I watched the Big Ten here. But who knows? The Rose Bowl will be a fun game, though, between Michigan and Bama. He is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and the College Football Betting Podcast there. Matt, we appreciate it. Have fun out there at SoFi. Safe travels.
Enjoy
back
yourself,
and
Matt.
Be well.
Happy Merry Christmas, Matt. Have a great time. Have an eggnog on us, man. Enjoy it.
Okay. You bet. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas indeed.
Wonder who gets the Matt Youmans Christmas dinner fast food selection. That's probably, if wherever he goes, that's gonna have to be the key, right? I mean, that's a big step. Your Christmas Day Matt Youmans fast food. That probably puts you up on an upper echelon.
Is the McRib available at McDonald's? Maybe we'll see what's going on.
They say it is.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Michael. I will talk to you
tomorrow.
Stormy's back tomorrow.
Oh, Stormy's back tomorrow. Okay, good.
All right, Pam and JVT are coming up next.